Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. We've had snow. We've had a lot of snow. People are discouraged. People are beaten down. They're cranky on account of this snow. Here it is, the extreme late middle April, and snow, more snow, more snow, sleet, ice, gray skies. People discouraged. People walking around town, ordinarily friendly people, have this look on their face that just says, closed for business. Don't ask. Don't ask. Please don't make a joke. Don't make a joke. People are not speaking in complete sentences. They're just saying, I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. You tell me. You tell me. Who knows? They go around looking at the ground, muttering at each other. It's been a tough couple of weeks. The ventilator fan in the ladies' room at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church went out. And that was an unpleasant thing. These bad smells spread quickly in an old building, and Larry, the custodian, had to go fix it. He's afraid of heights. He can't climb up on a stepladder. So he got his brother Louie to do that, and Louie climbed up through the door and the ceiling and up up onto the roof. He was up there on the icy roof trying to figure out what was wrong with that motor up there. And he took a long time, and Larry had to do some other things, and he forgot that Louie was up there, and he locked the ceiling door, and Louie was banging on the roof, but Larry's hard of hearing, and they drove away and left him up there. Pastor Liz was still at the church. She heard this banging up there, and she opened that ceiling door in the ladies' room and opened it, and this 220-pound man fell into her arms. It was a week like that. There were a lot of things like that going on. Arlene Bunsen put up 5 bird feeders in her backyard. Her husband Clarence watched her through narrow eyes. There were 2 gourmet feeders and 2 cafeteria feeders and 1 greasy spoon, and she would have gone for 8, but you know, if you're going to do 8, then you probably wind up with 13. And then before you know it, you've got loudspeakers in the backyard, and they're playing Respighi's The Birds or something, or the Pastoral Symphony. And before you know it, she'd have her hair dyed red and up in little tufts like a woodpecker. She laid down the law, no more bird feeders. She was inside writing email, complaining email to her daughter, Barbara, when she looked out the window and she saw a deer who was up on his hind legs and his head was inside a feeder and he was emptying that thing like a vacuum cleaner, just sucking it all in. She went bang, 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 bang on the storm window. The deer looked over his shoulder and then went back to eating. Deer can tell if you're a pacifist, and she is, or she was, and she was leery of deer hunting because she knew that it had nothing to do with meat whatsoever. It had to do with men needing to get away from women and their keen insights and to be off and do whatever crazy things they want to. It had nothing to do with hunting whatsoever. If you wanted to have whiskey on your breakfast sausage, then you just went deer hunting and you could do that to your heart's content. But now, with this deer in her backyard and eating her hosta and tromping all over the grass and emptying the bird feeder, she's starting to reconsider her position. She called up Jimmy Krebsbach, who's the neighbor boy. I say boy, he's 25 years old. Jimmy Krebsbach, who is sort of at loose ends and available to do things like this. She said, Jimmy, come on over here and deer-proof my yard, if you would. He comes over with a big gallon container of some kind of yellowish liquid. You don't want to know what it is. And he spreads it around and he hangs aluminum foil from the trees, and somehow it sort of works. Things like this going on all week. Pastor Liz making house visits to people who are not technically shut-ins. They're just really deeply, deeply discouraged. They've pulled their blinds. They've almost given up. Grace, the librarian, putting out books on gardening and flowers. And then she put out books of naked people. Some paintings, some photographs. Usually people in Lake Wobegon, if they wanted to look at naked people, they would tuck that book inside a big book of maps. And they would pretend to be looking at Siberia, but really they're looking at a woman. But now there was no shame whatsoever, no shame. They just sat there and stared at it. Pastor Liz went on house calls. She took some books around to people. She walked in. She was all dressed up. She wore a blue suit, and she wore flowers in her lapel, and her hair was done up beautifully. She wore makeup. She didn't come in to be all cheery and, you know, Jesus wants you for a sunbeam and that sort of thing. She just came over to listen to cranky people complain. And it took them a while because they were brought up not to. But eventually, with her encouragement, they unloaded. And then it was hard to stop them. And they talked about ungrateful children. And they talked about crazy relatives. And they talked about neighbors. And they talked about Congress. They talked about the U.S. Senate, which this last week did this incredible thing. This Senate, which is in the grip of gun manufacturers in this country, has nothing to do with hunting whatsoever. All about gun manufacturers to resist even the slightest restriction on who can run around with a gun in this country. And so the aim of it is to build paranoia. More guns are sold, and that makes people fearful. So then they feel they need to have guns, and pretty soon everybody will have 18 of them and assault rifles with 30-round magazines in them. Your grandmother will have two, and your great-grandmother will have four, and on it goes, on it goes. And where will it all end? Well, we know where it will end. Every month or every 2 weeks in this country, somewhere in this country, some berserk person heavily armed is going to walk into a school, walk into a factory where they used to work, walk into some place, walk into a church, who knows what, and commit horrendous things, and then even more guns will be sold as a result of it. And it's all the result of people from states that shouldn't be states at all. People from North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, maybe add in Kansas, add in Nebraska, states, you put them all together, less population than you'd find in a medium-sized American city. These people ought to be a national park. That ought to be just a big grasslands national park under the Bureau of Land Management. They're responsible for more that's wrong with this country. People from these little semi-populated states. No, this is the sort of cranky complaining that Pastor Liz had to listen to as she went around on her rounds, listening to people blowing off steam and saying what they think no matter what. No, but it'll all pass. It'll all pass, and we'll forget about the U.S. Senate, corrupt and awful as it is. We will forget about this just as we forget about winter. Once the crocuses come up and the tulips and the snow melts and people can get out in their yards and feel dirt in their hands, then they will be restored to health. It's just like at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church last Sunday, the third Sunday after Easter. Pastor Liz was giving the sermon about Jesus going to visit his disciples who were fishermen, and they weren't catching anything. And so he was telling them to all put their nets off to the right-hand side of the boat. And they did, and they drew up more fish than they could lift out of the water as she was preaching on this story. There was a series of pops from the second pew, and Mrs. Olson blanched, and this horrible smell, like somebody's feet. And she reached for her purse, which was sitting on a radiator. She had filled this weeks ago and then forgotten, filled it with a couple dozen creamers that she got from the Chatterbox Cafe. And they'd sat there in heat and cold and now on the radiator, and they blew up during the sermon. And it just made you blanch. But she took them all. She took them all out of the church, and they opened a window, and things were, and then everybody forgot. There was no reason to be embarrassed about that. Everything is restored. Once we get spring, once things turn green, Jimmy Krebsbach came over and spread his strange liquid that you don't want to know what it is. And Arlene invited him in for some scrambled eggs and sausage. She sat him down. 25 years old, he still hasn't figured out what to do with himself. 25 years old. He was an accidental child. Maybe others of us are too, I don't know. His mother hardly knew the man. They were in a car, and she thought that she was getting artificial respiration. That's what he said. And then one thing led to another, and he heard the bloodhounds on his trail, and he took off, and he wound up down in Texas. Jimmy was saying he was thinking about going down to Texas, finding his father. Jimmy, who's just not been able to find himself at all, drinks a lot of whiskey and just is an aimless kid wandering around, bumping into trees. Arlene said, "You ought to do that." The saddest words of heart or pen are these, "The thing that might have been." She gave him an envelope. It was fat. She put money in it. She said, "Jimmy, this is for you. Don't wait. Go. Find out who you are. It's down in Texas. Go." "I might," he said, "or I might go into construction. There are jobs in construction. I just have to go to a vo-tech school for a couple of years, and I'd be able to do that." "No," she said, "go. Go to Texas. Don't wait. Don't get things in order. Leave tomorrow. Just do it." That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.